station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 20th. Welcome to the show. Luckily, I'm not here alone, but Brigetta's not here yet. She'll be here in a few minutes. But I have a very special guest in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have Aliyah Janine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And I'm sorry my co-host is not here, but, you know, there's more important things to do in the morning, I guess.
It happens. You know, girls, it takes a lot of time. I had to get up at like 6:30 just to like...
Really? To be here at time?
To walk my dogs and eat breakfast. And yeah. You know, it's a process being a girl. It's not easy.
That's true. Are you an early riser?
Not normally that early, but depending... I'm normally between like 7 a.m. and 9 a.m., depending on how early my dogs get up and how late I went to bed. But somewhat early, I guess, compared to, you know, 10 years ago when like 2 o'clock in the afternoon was early.
Right. So for those of you who don't know, Aliyah is an adult porn star.
Mm-hmm.
You mean an adult film star, not an adult. Either an adult film or porn, but not both.
Yeah.
An adult porn star. So, how many films have you made so far, do you think?
You know, that's a really good question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because it's different now with the internet and everything like that.
So it's more by scene?
Yeah, it's more by scene now. Like like back in, let's say, like the 80s, even 90s, it was all like, how many movies have you done? Because that's all there was, you know, VHS.
Right.
I don't think there was any beta porn, but maybe, like, I used to have a beta player growing up,
yeah,
so
Betamax,
I remember.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and then DVDs. So now it's more, you know, by scene. Like, I have probably, like, maybe 50-plus movies out, but I've done over 100 scenes.
Right. Wow.
In the industry. So,
you've got a body of work out there.
Yeah, yeah. I have
a nice
chunk of work, for sure.
So, well, this is cool. So, let's go to the beginning.
Okay.
Are you originally from L.A.?
No, I am from the land of milk and cheese and beer.
Okay, that's Wisconsin?
Yeah. I should have said serial killers, too, because we have a lot of serial killers
that's
from
true,
Wisconsin,
huh?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Something happened there recently, didn't it? Or no, it was Jeffrey Dahmer was from there.
Yeah, Jeffrey Dahmer was from there. I actually, I didn't know him, but like he said hello to me. my mom used to date a guy that lived a couple blocks away from him, and we would have to walk past his apartment to go to the little convenience store and
really?
Stuff. And so like we would see him all of the time. And my mom's boyfriend, he was a black man and he was a musician, and he would come and listen. His name was Jasper. Would come and listen to Jasper play. My mom would see him all of the time.
Really?
Yeah. So it was really weird when like
that it is new, weird. Wow.
My mom's like, I'm so glad you're a girl.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my. She has a really sick sense of humor. So.
Yeah. So, are you from Milwaukee, Madison?
Actually, born and raised in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
I lived in the suburbs for a little bit, but yeah, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, yeah. I used to date a girl who lived in Milwaukee, and I was there once.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can remember is how humid it was in the summer there.
Oh, my God.
You know, amazing. I thought I was going to die, man. And we went to a wedding, so I put on a suit and everything.
Yeah.
All I remember is like running out of the house I was staying in. Just let me go outside, you know, get some air and stuff. So it gets humid there.
Yeah,
summer,
it gets obnoxiously hot there. People don't realize it, but in the summer times, it could get like I think the hottest it's ever been when I was there is like 110 degrees, and then you add humidity on
there.
It's like you could cut, you know, the air with a knife. It's
right.
Obnoxious.
And then in the winter it's freezing.
Oh yeah, it's like below 40, so you get like the best of both.
Yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to stay there.
Oh yeah.
So So you grew up there. Do you have any siblings?
Well, I have a half brother who passed away a couple of years ago, but I was pretty much raised as an only child.
Only child. I see. Okay. What was that like? I mean, did you feel a lot of attention to you? Did you feel left out?
Well, I was definitely a spoiled brat. Well, it depends on what parent I was with. If I was with my mother, I basically ran the world, and if I wanted something, I got it.
Yeah.
And then when I was with my father, he's a military man, so it was completely opposite, where I wanted something, I had to work for it and whatever. So, you know, I learned a lot of responsibility and how to share and stuff living with my dad, but I was the little princess with my mom.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So you lived in both houses?
Parents... My parents were actually never married, so I'm a bastard child, which is awesome.
You like that, huh?
Right.
Only child who's a bastard also.
Yeah. I was conceived around St. Valentine's Day, so I was made out of love. I know that.
Yeah. Well, good.
I think, but no, I don't know. When I was younger, I guess I had the only child syndrome, as people call it. But living with my father and... he basically kicked my ass, got that out of my system.
A military man, huh?
Yeah. He was a sergeant in Vietnam.
Wow.
For two tours, I believe. And he was, he enrolled actually when he was 16 with a fake ID. And they caught him, and he was halfway through boot camp, and they actually made him wait until he was 17, and he had to go through boot camp again. Yeah, and they because I think you have to have a parent's signature or something to be 17. So it was he was really young when he went in. So
I see.
Yeah, he's strict.
Yeah,
he's a very strict man. He's 6'10". At the time, he was probably only 250. Now he's older, so he's 300 pounds. He's got a little belly, but he's so tall.
Wow. Well, we'll go back to that because I want to know how how your parents feel about what you do and stuff. Okay. But we'll get to that.
Okay.
So you grew up there in Milwaukee, and did you go to high school there?
Actually, I went to high school in a suburb of Milwaukee. It was called West Bend. I went to West Bend West.
Mm-hmm.
Go Spartans.
What was high school like? Were you popular?
No, I hated high school.
I know. I seldom find people that were popular.
I don't really know that many people that liked high school. I mean, I had a lot of fun with my friends, and it was definitely a learning experience, even though I thought I knew everything like everybody else.
Yeah.
At that day and age. But no, I actually hated high school. I only went to the classes that I really liked, and those classes I would get A's in, and I would totally excel in. And then other classes that I hated, I just wouldn't go to, or just wouldn't do anything with them because I hated them. But then when I went to college, I actually got really, really good grades, and my mom asked me who I was because she didn't think I was her child. And I'm it's a lot different when you're paying for it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was studying stuff that I wanted to study. Yeah, so it was a lot different. Yeah.
It's different. Now, in high school, when did you first have sex? At an early age?
I guess it's somewhat average, maybe.
Yeah, 15, 16.
Yeah, the first time I had sex, I was 15, and it was basically just me and one of my guy friends, and he was also a virgin. We were pretty much the only virgins left in a friend. So we just did it just to do it, just so it was over. And then I didn't really have sex again until I was 17 or 18, because when you're a girl, it doesn't really feel that good when you're that young.
Not at
it's
the beginning.
Actually quite painful.
Yeah, when they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, and that definitely played a huge factor.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was so awkward.
Yeah, I think usually the early experiences are not that memorable for people.
Well, no, they're memorable.
Memorable,
but
not positive.
But awkward, I can't believe it was bad. But there was no, how it's some girls... Or just people in general, they want it all to be romantic and, whatever. Sometimes it just doesn't happen that way.
Yeah, sometimes I just want to fuck, you know.
It's sometimes you just want to get rid of it because it's such a stigmata about it. It's whatever.
Yeah. So you went to college there as well, right?
Yes. Southside of Milwaukee was a technical school. I went there.
A technical school? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
What were you taking there?
Criminal justice or police science.
Really?
Yeah, depending on what you want to call it.
So you're a smart cookie, too. I mean, you're just not all about having sex and stuff like that.
Although, I prefer that part.
So did you get to finish your school in college?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually, I've been thinking about going back... I'm not quite sure for what. I'm thinking either drug therapist or sex therapist.
Mm.
So I have a lot of experience in
both. Yeah, obviously, yeah. What kind of drug experience did you have?
Well, I partied a lot when I was younger, especially in high school.
Right. So it was weed mainly?
No, I've tried just about everything.
Really?
I really have. I grew up, my mom was a hippie, and then obviously my father being in Vietnam, he tried a lot of stuff too. But they were always, try things, experiment. Like they weren't the type of people to tell me, no, don't do it,
right.
Trying to control me. Well, maybe my father when it came to sex, but that was a different story. But they always said, my mom always said to do your drugs, don't let your drugs do you.
Oh, wow.
And like experiment, have fun or whatever. So, I did it for a little bit and had my fun. And I was like, okay, it's over now. Like, I barely even drink anymore.
Wow.
You kind of grow up and out of it. Like when you wake up with a hangover every day or,
That's true, yeah.
Just whatever. It just gets old. Like you want that's what you're supposed to do when you're a kid. Like you're supposed to break all the rules
and party all the
time. And try stuff.
Like
yeah.
That. Yeah. So did you party a lot in college and stuff too?
No.
Actually, so you were focused on the studies.
Yeah.
There.
That's actually like once, I want to say it was probably about like a year before I went to school is when like I quit partying and like going out so much. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to school. And then I went to school, to be a cop. And my friends were like, who hell are you? They're like, what? I mean, it's kind of appropriate. My father was a deputy sheriff in Texas when he got out of the military. So
wow. So wow, this is cool. I mean, so you got a degree in what? In criminology or something?
Criminal justice.
Oh, criminal justice. Mm-hmm. And so that qualifies you to be what? Like you can move on to law school, right?
Yeah, just about anything. I was actually certified through the state of Wisconsin for law enforcement. The school that I went to, they have they actually have a program there that is a part of the Wisconsin Police Department and stuff like that. And we have a shooting range there, and we actually had a shoot house, and like the FBI trains there and stuff
really?
Like that. And we take a bunch of basic classes, defense and arrest tactics, driving, which is called EVOC, emergency vehicle training and response, first responder, and then like the basic law
right.
stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. So you have a career in case you're tired of what you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, technically, because I'll be 34 this year. I believe most of the cutoffs for that is 35. So, I mean, I wouldn't actually be able to, go out on the field, which is not technically what I wanted to do anyway.
Uh-huh.
But, I have a little bit of time. If I want to do something along those lines, I guess I could.
Awesome. Well, my co-host just walked in.
Hi.
Welcome to you.
Hello.
Good morning.
I am sorry. I had to take a test this morning, and I thought I would be done, and I wasn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is Aaliyah.
Hello.
And that's Brigetta.
Hi.
And, now we can have coffee and everything. Think
right,
that we met each other.
Sweet, because I could totally use them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How was the drive? Was it murder?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We had fun yesterday. We went to a gifting suite, and Brigetta was there, and I went too.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And it was a lot of fun, yeah. I mean, I got like all kinds of stuff, but
good.
It's all women's stuff,
Yeah, but give it to your wife. Give it to the kids.
I did. But for me, it wasn't that exciting.
Yeah.
But what was exciting was the women there.
Yes,
let me tell you. Wow, you've got some friends. Let me tell you. Wow.
Well, when there's stuff
I was
to buy,
blown away.
Women will be there.
Women will be there, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's all entertainment people. So it's everyone,
right.
Everyone who's known for something.
Right.
So, yeah, it was fun. And I'm glad you got your first taste of a gifting suite.
Yeah.
And at least your family was happy, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, why not?
Come
bring
right.
gifts for everyone. But the thing is, too, is like each suite is different. And yeah, this one was most of them are more geared towards women.
Right.
But there are some that have a lot of men's stuff. It just really depends on the suite.
Yeah.
I've been to one of those. Yeah.
You have been to one of those?
Wow, yeah. You just get all sorts of free crap.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I kind of expected it to be bigger, though. Are they usually bigger?
It really just depends.
Depends on what it is?
On the suite and the event. And
right.
every suite's different. And their event last year was, the other side of the rooftop, which was huge. And they had, 100 vendors. And it was... It was crazy. A lot of art and stuff, which was amazing. But you just don't know because it just depends. Like, they're working on so many events right now.
Right.
That it's really hard to do one big one. Okay. They have to do, like, a bunch of, you know, little ones. So right. It just really depends.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be coming to more of those, let me tell you. I like them.
Okay, good.
I felt right at home. They're beautiful women and everything.
Nice.
And everybody was treating you nicely. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
stuff,
yeah.
You know, so... It's,
absolutely, because they want you to wear their stuff.
Right,
they
yeah.
want you to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
you
promote
know?
It and
exactly.
stuff. It's free promotion for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm like, sure, I'll wear this. No problem. Yeah.
except for yeah. this one booth, I go there and there's a lady with makeup and stuff. And I'm like, well, tell me a little bit about this.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, it's for women. It's not for you. You know?
Yeah, there's like, some stingy people. In fact, with her, I got annoyed. I just walked away because I was like, I don't feel like... like sitting there trying to tell you like exactly what I do,
yeah.
where everyone else is just giving me stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't know who I am, then you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's not.
And if
my
you're
problem.
Gonna be that stingy with your stuff because you only want certain people to wear it, then maybe
right.
you shouldn't be at a gifting like that.
Exactly. I totally agree. I'm like, whatever. It's such a. I'm like, do you know that I'm the new Harley girl? You bitch.
Oh God! You should
whatever.
Wear T-shirts that say that, so
I should
people
wear a
will give you the right. respect you deserve.
Don't you know who I am? I don't. Know.
I think they probably have a shirt like that. They have to have one,
right? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. List my resume on the back of it.
Right.
It'll be hilarious.
Yeah.
I would just be a smart ass. It'd be really funny to wear to like an event.
I would totally wear something like
yeah.
that. Yeah. For
yeah.
sure.
Yeah,
now you got me started.
If you don't know me, you're an asshole.
Right.
You're an asshole. Exactly.
You need to leave your cave.
Yeah. Actually, I did get you into one on Saturday if you'd want to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just started
wow.
submitting you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. It's at Paramount, so that one will be good.
Wow. Oh, nice.
Yep.
Now I want to go.
I'll go.
Yep.
What the hell? Yeah. So we'll go back to Aaliyah.
Okay.
And so we were at college, and
yes.
And you so you got yourself a degree now,
mm-hmm.
and so were you planning on using it right away after school, or did you?
I was like that was the whole reason why I went to school.
Right.
But things changed.
And then
changed.
What happened? Then?
Things changed. Well, I was a dancer on and off for 10 years, like a total of 6 years, and.
When did you start that? At what age?
I. Started dancing when I was 20. Well, actually, the first time I ever auditioned, I was 18. I had just turned 18, and I did it to piss off my mother.
Wow.
And I went to this really super creepy club in the ghetto. I went there, and at the time, like, girls had to wear Band-Aids over their nipples, and they had to wear nylons underneath their shorts, and they had to wear, like, basically booty shorts. Like, they had to have so much of their butt covered.
Wow.
And, three out of the four girls, I was the fourth girl that was auditioning because, like, you win $200 or whatever. They got arrested for solicitation, and that's
wow.
when I left and kind of decided. I was like, okay, maybe stripping isn't for me because it was really scary. But
yeah.
That's so funny.
It was, yeah, it was definitely an experience. My mom, like, laughed at me because I tell her everything, even though, like, I do stuff to, like, purposely make her mad at
yeah.
me or, like, try to get
that's
her mad
so
at me.
That's so funny.
Like, she just laughed hysterically. At me. But I went back when I was 20. I went to a way nicer club and like better club. And I danced up until like I wanted to go to school basically, and I met a guy or whatever. And so I had quit dancing and we broke up with the guy, and I needed to finish paying for school and stuff. So I went back, and before I went to school, I really wanted to be a feature dancer. Like, I'd already started traveling a little bit and dancing and stuff. And so
that's where, like, the real money is at when you're featured.
Yeah, yeah, because basically you get paid per show. Like, you're being paid to be there, plus you make all your
right.
tips and stuff, and you don't have to, like, sit there and deal with the guys
yeah.
like a regular house girl and stuff. And so when I went back to dancing, you know, to finish paying for school, I was just like, I forgot how much I really like this and how much easier it is. And, you know, I'm getting dollar bills thrown at me instead of grenades or whatever, bullets and stuff. So I was just like... You know, I finished school, but, like, I wanted to pursue feature dancing. I'm like, okay, and maybe it was, like, a quarter of a midlife crisis because I turned 30 or whatever. I'm like, okay, like, I need to do something different and crazy or whatever. So I moved to Florida and, you know, went to a feature dancing school, and that's when I got hooked up with a score group and started you know, I made my first movie.
Okay.
And stuff.
Well, so now, when you were dancing, was that like topless or full nude?
Mainly just topless. Like, I've worked at some full nude clubs, but it's just something about dollar bills being really, really dirty and my vagina just hanging all out there.
Yeah.
That I really had a problem with. And like the pole, like a lot of the nicer clubs that I worked at, like they have a little spray bottle that has like rubbing alcohol in it.
Yeah.
So you spray it down and stuff. But yeah, I prefer non, like, I prefer bottoms.
Well, you've got also, you've got a lot of top to show,
so
it's enough. Yeah.
And I think that it kind of takes away from like the imagination and like the whole sexiness of dancing, because like seeing a girl like spread eagle on a stage, like to me, like that isn't really
it's not
sexy.
Even.
Well, for a guy, it's very sexy.
Well, yeah, like a lot of guys like it, but a lot of the guys that I talk to too, just as customers, they actually prefer
thongs
or something.
Thongs
and stuff like that, because it kind of makes them a little uncomfortable. Like some guys that actually did, they're just like, I just want to see some titties, you know, like have a drink.
And they like watching the ass and everything, but when it comes to like being able to see all your insides, they're like not as, it's not as attractive. Like they rather leave it to their imagination.
Yeah. Mm. There's some guys, that really, really get into it. They're like right there, you know, with a freaking magnifying glass. Like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That's me with binoculars.
Oh my God. You're so funny. At least you admit it.
Right.
Yeah.
Most guys do, though. Like, every customer that I talk to, maybe they just feel more open because, you know, I'm obviously there half naked or whatever. But they all tell me they're either they really like it or they don't. It's just like, at least you're being honest.
Yeah,
you learn a lot about men when you work in a strip club.
Right.
Like, a whole other side of men. And then when I started porn, I learned a whole side of men.
Really? So,
like, another whole side.
Wow. So what side did you see in men when you were stripping?
You guys are dirty. Oh, my God. Oh. You guys have the most dirty imagination.
Yeah,
That's true.
You really do. You know, and I just learned, like what guys... you know, I actually studied a little bit on it, and I found out that, you know, humans are meant to be monogamous. It's a choice. Like, we're not built to be that way, especially guys.
Mm-hmm. Right. You mean we're not meant to be monogamous.
Yeah, we're not.
I totally
you know,
agree.
There are certain species that are, like, wolves and penguins or whatever,
right,
which is really super cute. And there's some people that want to be and that can be, but for the most part, for most men, it's a challenge. It's a job for them to only have sex with one woman for the rest of their lives.
Tell me about it. No, that's true. That's true. Because, I mean, nature prepares us to spread our seed as much as possible.
Yeah, and that's what
we do. Yeah, we just chase pussy all the time.
That's why I think strip clubs are, like, healthy for marriages, because it gives guys a chance to, like, go and, like, flirt with a girl and maybe even get some new titties in their face. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, it still keeps them faithful, and then they go home.
In a way, I don't know. I've been to some strip clubs that... it was way more than that.
Oh, yeah. No, there's definitely, especially now compared to like when I first started, like, and maybe it's just because I'm more aware of seeing like, you know, girls leaving with guys and stuff like that. But the general of what it's meant to be for.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, people always mess things up. Like, this is what it's supposed to be for, but you're always going to have like the bad seeds and everything. So.
Yeah.
This is true.
So you stripped for, did you say a few months or
years? No, years.
In Wisconsin, it was a few years, right?
Yeah, well, I traveled all over the country.
Well, that's what I meant. I mean, so then you started traveling. Was it like offered to you or did
No, actually, when I first started traveling, just a girlfriend and I, we just went to a bunch of different clubs that, you know, offer, you know, traveling girls and stuff like that. I would do a lot of the different bike weeks, like Daytona Bike Week and Myrtle Beach
Bike Week. I've done a lot of the bike weeks,
and
too.
And so, yeah, bike weeks
hosting.
Are 11. Yeah.
Different, but, like, hosting. Yeah.
And I, you know, I have friends that, that you know, work a lot of those types of conventions and stuff and would just, like, go with them and, like, sign stuff during the day and, like, go dance at night or whatever.
Wow.
And this is before, like, I ever even did anything. I wasn't even cool.
So you were just traveling, right?
Yeah.
And at a certain point, did you move?
Well, that's when,
you said you moved to Florida?
Yeah, well, I moved to Florida. That's after all of the dancing stuff. I had stayed, I pretty much lived in Wisconsin my whole life until I was 30. And I moved to Florida, and I only lasted about 8 months in Florida because people either go there to die or to hide from something.
That's really funny. Where in Florida were you though?
St. Pete, Tampa.
Okay. Yeah. Cause my family is in Bonita Springs, Naples.
No, I mean, it's a great place to visit.
And I love Miami.
Yeah.
And Miami, like, I would move there in a heartbeat if there were more entertainment work.
Yeah.
Like, I would. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, Miami's fun.
I couldn't stand it there. Like, it's fun to visit. For me, like, Florida's amazing to visit and to
hang out.
But I
guess, like, Tampa's
whatever.
More slow and, like, older.
Yeah. Well, it's like white trash heaven.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Like, well, especially St. Petersburg. It really is.
Really. Now, they're saying, when the convention came to Tampa last month, they were saying how it's, like, one of the... Like strip club capitals of the world.
Yeah,
or
they
something?
Have the
There's
most
like so
strip clubs per capita in the country.
Wow.
I believe they
That's
have
crazy.
Like some 52 or 53 strip clubs, and most of them are all these little rinky-dink backwoods kind of clubs. Like they have a penthouse club, which is decent, but it's really small. Mm-hmm. It's a small club, and then they have a Scores. But it's also really small. Like, all these clubs are just so small, but the majority of them are actually really kind of creepy. Like, some of them are really cool. Like, I know a couple of the owners of a couple of them, like Oasis and, like, Brass Flamingo, but they're really small. They look like basically little corner bars with a little stage and a pole. Yeah, because there's so many of them, and, like, anyone can have one. And so, you know, there's certain ones, like, outside of, like, different counties that are full nude and whatever. But yeah, the rules there are a lot different in Florida than they were in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I found that out the hard way after I almost beat up a guy during a lap dance Daytona Beach, because he came up around me and, like, just full on grabbed my boobs, and me being me, like, elbowed him like four times in his stomach, and then went up and, like, hit his nose with my fist. And then the bouncer come and grabs me and is like, "What are you doing? Blah blah blah." I'm like, "What the hell are you doing? I'm doing your job."
Yeah.
And then they're like, "They're allowed to touch you." And I'm like, "Over my dead body, they're allowed to touch me." I'm like, "No one informed me of this, dude."
They hadn't told you that.
No, they failed to inform me that guys could touch there. Because in Wisconsin, like, at certain clubs, like, girls are allowed to touch the guys, but guys aren't allowed to touch
the girls. That's like here, Arizona. Yeah, you can't. Well, you can't. The guys can't touch the girls unless you guys put their hands.
Certain clubs, like the legs or whatever, or arms. But once it starts getting, you know.
Yeah.
A little crazy, they stop it most of the time.
It's like so weird to me to have a lap dance, you know. I don't know why, because it's like, you know, you're alone with someone, you know, she's not into you, and she's just doing these things to, you know, to you know, and you're spending a lot of money and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. Is that some guys really, really like them, and some guys, you know, like yourself, like, they, once it gets to that point, they kind of expect more.
Yeah, I mean,
torturing.
The thing is that it's torturing, because you're going in and it just turns you on, you know? I mean, if a guy comes from a lap dance, I don't know, excuse me, but this guy can't control himself, you know? But
well, that means you just go home and you really give it to whoever you're with.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, when you go to a hooker, you go to get your rocks off.
Yeah.
When you go to get a lap dance, you just get more horny.
Pretty much. Yeah, kind of.
Exactly.
But thankfully, there's a lot of guys that like it, so it keeps you busy.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So you were in Florida for a few months, did you say?
Yeah, I was in Florida for about 8 months. I had did my first feature film for Score, which is my Amazon. And then I had a couple of friends who lived out here, and so I came out here for 2 weeks to work and like, you know, actually get into the whole porn scene, and I ended up falling in love with LA, and I just stayed.
Oh.
Like, I didn't go
Hold
back.
On a second, though. Let's go back, because I want to know how you got into porn. Was that, like, in Florida? Is that where it happened?
Yeah, it was with the Score Group.
Score Group.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they?
Their Score. The Score Group there. They're one of the biggest and most well-known, like, big boobed magazine, like, porn companies and stuff. I was a lot bigger when I had first started. I was like 160 pounds, I want to say. And then when I had moved to Florida, I pretty much had, like, full-blown, like, quit drinking and moving here, I lost, like, all my winter fat, basically. So I lost, like, 20, 30 pounds or whatever, and it's, like, been impossible to gain it back. But there's no winter here, so it's not, like,
that's true,
hibernating for 8 months eating Twinkies.
Yeah. Plus, your boobs are probably, like, a quarter of your weight or something, right?
I would definitely think so. I don't know how much they weigh. Like, probably, I want to say maybe, like, between 3 to 4 pounds each.
You are so funny.
Like,
wait, they're
real.
Are they really?
Yeah. They're real. They look real.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw a couple of pictures online. I mean, they're amazing.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
Does your mom have huge boobs, too?
Yeah. She's super short. She's, like, 5'5", 5'4", and she's, like, big hips and like big boobs and tiny little waist. And my dad's side of the family, everyone's really, really tall and super, super skinny. Wow. So it's like I got the best of both worlds.
Funny. Oh my God, that's awesome.
It's totally, everyone's like, how do you have that body? I'm like great genetics.
What's your background? Like, what are your...
I'm an American mutt. I'm French, Irish, Swedish, Norwegian, Slavic, Scottish, English, and Native American.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm American.
Yeah.
Basically.
Much, yeah. Totally.
The sum of all the parts, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So now, did you find them? Did they...
No, actually a girl that I had worked with at one of the strip clubs back in Milwaukee, she had did a bunch of like solo scenes for them.
And she turned you on to it?
And she's like, yeah, she's, you know, it's $500 per scene. You know, they fly you out to Miami, blah, blah, blah. And at the time, I was just like, no. You know, I was actually kind of a prude. Yeah. Like...
like dancing was as far as you
and like I would get into like fights with girls that, you know, would do anything extra, like I was that girl that would like beat up girls for like doing extra in the lap dance area. Like, just messing up my money here, honey.
Yeah.
Like, stop giving stuff away for free. But she had turned me onto him, and I didn't actually even try to like work with them until I moved to Florida. So this is probably like 6 months after she had told me about them. And then like with feature dancing, it would be really good to get some credits and stuff like that. So I went there and shot a couple solo scenes, and they basically talked me into doing one movie. And I'm just like, I've done a bunch of other crazy things in my life, so, you know, I'll just try one movie, you know, and if I don't like it or whatever, at least I have that one movie and it's from a good company and stuff for the credits, and and go from there. But I ended up obviously liking it. So
they usually start you off in solo, right? And then you go into
sometimes with that particular company with me, because I wasn't planning on doing porn at all. Like, I was just, you know,
so
I just wanted to
ease you into it, right?
Magazines and stuff, but they're just like, you should just try it. And
then
they're like, you're doing this and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know, and I took a lot of time and thought about it, and, you know, I talked to my parents about it and my friends and stuff, and they're just like, well, you're crazy enough, try it. You
know? And your parents were totally like...
Yeah, well, my dad, he was a little...
He's a military man.
Yeah.
But
at the same time, like, he does have an open mind, so he was a little worried about it. Like, my uncle, I think, was more upset about it because he's kind of... He's like the old Charlie Sheen character from 2 and a Half Men, like, literally. So basically, like, I have to send him pornos that I'm not in, like, every once in a while.
Because
he had to cancel. He told me, he's like, I have to cancel all these memberships now and all this other stuff.
Whoa.
And I'm just like, I'm sorry, Uncle Bill. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
So now, like, I send him a bunch of movies that I'm not in and stuff. And I tell him, like, websites that I haven't worked for and...
That's really cool that your parents are, I guess, supportive of it, because most, I would think, wouldn't.
Well, a little worried. Yeah, my mom, like, she wants me to be happy and healthy and safe and everything, and she's like, well, whatever, you know, floats your boat, you know, go ahead and do it. She's like, I can't make you stop or whatever. She's like, so what the hell's the point?
So how is it, like, dating-wise?
Interesting. I kind of, like... got into porn so I didn't have to date. So I could get laid by really, really hot guys and then, like, not have to worry about, like, not calling them or them not calling me and not having to deal with all that.
I
had a really bad relationship, and I was just like, screw it. Like, guys, you know, obviously have a really hard time being faithful and all this other stuff. I've dated some guys in the industry, and it's actually a little bit easier because, you know, they do the same thing, so there's really no jealousy thing. But then there does, you know, get a little bit of jealousy where it's like, you know, they don't want me to work with certain people, or, you know, I don't want them to work with certain people or something. You know, it could be something like that. Otherwise, like, civilian guys are the general population. There's a few guys that I date, but I normally keep it pretty low key and you know, try to not keep it so serious. I mean, if I find someone that I really like, you know, there's always that possibility. But, you know, it's been about 12 years since my last, like, really serious boyfriend.
Wow.
So I don't see it happening anytime soon.
Wow.
I have very high standards, apparently. So, and that's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was your motivation for getting into porn? Was it the sex? Was it the money?
Bit of everything. It was more, you know, it was credits for feature dancing. It was sex. Obviously, I got paid. And I was like, okay, well, this is a good combination. And, like, my friends were all supportive and stuff. So I'm like... screw it, might as well.
Right. Plus, so, it's like an escape, I guess. From
yeah. And, you know, and like I have a lot of freedom with my schedule, which is what I really, really, really like. Mm-hmm. Because I've worked so many other jobs before throughout my life, you know, where you have to be at the office at 5 a.m., you know.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And like paperwork and all this other stuff. Like,
that's I've for you. Huh?
Probably had like every job possible between like service industry, you yeah, know, yeah. security, retail. Like I've done, I've had a lot of factory. I worked at a factory where we made like little nuts and bolts. Used to make paper plates. I had a job right out of high school where we made paper plates. I had this so huge random. Machine. Yeah, this, and I had like the craziest, oldest machine too because I was like the newest person there or whatever. Right. This machine was evil. Like would literally spit out paper plates at me, like just shoot them out at me.
So
the worst job ever.
Yeah. Now, did you consider? I mean, because you had plans for getting a career in criminal justice, whatever. And did it cross your mind that if you get into porn, it'd probably get in the way?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh
like
yeah.
You decided I'd rather have the sex.
Yeah, I definitely knew that. That doing porn and being public, especially considering I use my real name and everything, that it would definitely make things more difficult to get a job, especially something like that in law enforcement. Like, you know, if I were to actually be a cop and not tell anyone I did porn, even though like a bunch of people did, and then like, you know, go and pull someone over and they'll be like, don't I have one of your movies? You know, like that, you know, and people could use that against you in certain cases and stuff like that. So I would basically be a liability. And that would kind of do that.
You could still bounty hunt.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'd love to do that. I'd be really good at that.
I know someone who you could talk to.
I would, because I was thinking about doing a lot of different things between like U.S. Marshal and then like forensic pathologist and like CSI type stuff. But I wanted to be like, I wanted to be a doctor for the dead, basically. I wanted to be a forensic pathologist.
I actually wanted to do that, too.
Yeah, really? And then not so like the crime scene stuff. Like because my mom's, she's a registered nurse. She's been a nurse her whole entire life, like 25 years. And, like, I grew up with, you know, knowing a lot about the medical field. You know, I knew about STDs before I knew what sex was and stuff. Yeah. You know, I knew a lot of stuff. I knew what phalanges were before, you know, everything else. And so I really got into it. It was just a whole matter of, like, dealing with people. And, like, I'm really good with dealing with people, but, like, having to poke them with needles or, like, cut them open. Like, that really kind of freaked me out. But then, like, when we would dissect, like, baby pigs and stuff like that in school, I didn't have a problem with it. I was just like, oh, they're dead. I could do that. And I'm like, I can handle dealing with dead people and cutting them open. But live people, unless, like, I could put them under or knock them out or something, I don't think I could do it.
Wow. Yeah, it always makes me wonder who wants to be a pathologist.
Well, I actually thought mortuary school, too. I'm like, I could totally be a mortician.
I thought about that. I was like, that'd be kind of cool.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, it's different, and it's, like, a really well-paid job, and, you know, it's kind of...
And I'm really good at makeup.
Yeah. Right? Like, I'm good at makeup on other people. When it comes to me, it's, like, all mixed up. But when it comes to... Yeah, I could do other girls' makeup, like, amazing. Yeah. I'm like, wow, I'm actually good. Why can't I do this on myself?
Yeah. Right?
Well, now, so now you've got some tattoos on there.
Yeah.
Let's analyze this one. What does it say on there? It's like a book.
Yeah, this one is actually a book with falling pages. This is actually for my half brother who passed away. This is one of his quotes that he had on his MySpace pages.
Okay.
Love is nothing other than illusion for the hopeful.
Uh-huh.
And then this is actually one of my favorite quotes, and it actually happens to be lyrics to a Slayer song. And it says, in the depths of the mind, insane fantasy and reality are the same.
Okay.
And then his initials, date of birth and date of death. And then
you have the masks.
The comedy and tragedy mask. I just got those added actually a couple of weeks ago, and he did a bunch of shading. And then I have I'm getting the seven deadly sins right here. Page,
oh, really?
And then he's just going to finish shading it. And yeah.
Wow. Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
And you have some on the other arm too.
Yeah, I have just this one. It's my cupcake spider.
The cupcake spider.
My best friend did. Well, I have a pet tarantula. So, and then next are going to be I have two dogs, so it's going to be their puppy paw prints in, like, aww, different colors and yeah, stuff. I think that would be cute. And then I have the one on my finger,
yeah,
which is the acronym. Can I swear on here?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We've been swearing for the past
I know. Well, you know, I always got to ask because I have a mouth like a trucker, and, like, you'll see me, like, all of a sudden pause, like, when I want to say fuck or whatever. But now that I know I can say it, it's awesome. So this is the acronym for shut the fuck up. And so, because there's a couple girls that have, like, the tattoo. I'm not really a kind of girl. I'm more of a shut the fuck up kind of girl.
Yeah.
It's probably the most stupidest and most painful tattoo I've gotten on my finger.
That one, really, I would say, well, my ribs were the worst.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have, and then I have the one on my foot was
that
really, really bad. Yeah. And then I had the, it's just like a flower, a lotus with a dragonfly. And then I have the Milwaukee Brewers logo on the inside of my left ankle. And then the LA Dodgers on the other one. And then I have a huge scorpion on my back.
Wow. Are you Scorpio?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of
you guys
Scorpio
are similar in those things, you know what I mean?
Are you Scorpio too? Yeah.
No, but she's into reptiles too. She's got a snake. You got a tarantula.
Oh, I have a Scorpio moon and a Scorpio rising.
Oh, there you go.
There you go. I'm Sag.
Okay.
And she's got a snake on her body, and you got
a my spider.
Yeah, your spider on the body. And
that's my snake on my back.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And then I have little brass knuckles behind both of my ears. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have a couple of you. You know what's funny is that, like, I never wanted to get tattoos on my arms, especially, like, with dancing and stuff, just because I actually do like the look of natural skin. But it's like, once you get started,
you can't stop.
It's really hard to stop.
Really?
Really hard to stop.
Yeah.
So hard to stop.
Why is it like you get over the hump and then you realize,
you know,
I have all these possibilities?
But it feels good. And then it, like, I don't know. It's it's like a rush for a while.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay, now I'm over that. Next.
Yeah.
I want another rush.
I want another.
Yeah. And I'm going to get another one. I'm just trying to figure out where to put it.
Yeah. Like, I was trying to strategically place them where you you can't really see them that much. But now, obviously, like, I have a half a sleeve. It's kind of hard.
Yeah.
But what's the point in putting a tattoo where nobody can see it?
Because it's for you.
It's just for you.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
Like, I actually think I might get writing, like, right in the inside of my arm, so, like, no one else can see it, but I can see
That's painful. That's actually why I had this heart put there, because, you know, it's a tattered heart, and it's, like, it's in the inside of my left arm, and I figure, okay, no one could really see it there. But then, like, I wanted to fill it out a little bit. I'm like, okay.
This is painful as hell. And,
and so is this.
Worse than ribs. Well, and my ribs were so bad.
That ribs like are really. Shit. Anywhere on the bone is.
So if I can do the ribs, then I can probably tell right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. I'll
just rip another seat, because I pretty much put a hole in their leather seat.
Oh, my God.
Right.
It's all the way down my side.
Oh.
And I was like, motherfucker. But it looks really good.
Yeah.
So I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, the scorpion on my back is actually huge.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
And two, and that took
a
really long time. Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
And I was just, like, squeezing. I was just like, oh, my God. Especially when it got up to the spine.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what was your first scene like, boy, girl, and stuff? Were you, like, were you nervous? I mean, was it, did you feel right at home?
No, actually, I was more nervous doing the solo scenes.
Oh, really?
Like, when
that's
I first went out there.
That's what everyone says, I think.
Because, like,
you're alone.
Yeah, when you masturbate, you're by yourself, you know, unless, like, you're with a significant other or whatever. But for the most part, you're by yourself when you're masturbating.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so when you're doing it on camera for the first time, you know, there's, like, a, you know, makeup artist there, maybe, and then the camera guy, and then the sound guy, and you're like, okay, this is a little awkward.
Yeah.
Right.
But when it came to the actual sex part, you know, there was someone else there with you doing the exact same thing.
Right.
So, like, it didn't even really bother me.
And
that
you just get in for it.
Yeah, that the director and the photographer there, I was like, okay, whatever. But, like, even, I mean, now I get a little bit more comfortable doing solo scenes, but it's still awkward where I'm just like, why are you watching me?
Yeah.
I'm like, I know I'm getting paid for this and everything, but really, can you just, like, turn around? There's actually some guys, like, I worked with some people that when it comes to solo scenes, they'll just, like, place a camera in one place and then, like, leave the room and just let you go at it.
Mm.
I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool.
That makes more sense.
Yeah, but now I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Pretty much I'm over it a little bit. I mean, it's still awkward, but I'm like, oh, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it was that company Score that decided, they talked you into moving to L.A. where all the...
No, they're based in Florida. I moved to L.A. all by myself. Like, I wanted to shoot out here for some other companies and stuff, and I got hooked up with an agency out here.
Mm.
And, like I said, came out here for 2 weeks and just fell in love with L.A. because I hated Florida so much, and stayed for about 5 months, and you know, got my own apartment because I was staying with one of my friends. And then went back to Florida and got my car and my dog and, you know, drove here. So I basically have driven like a whole little triangle across the country of moving or whatever. And I've been here for like 3 years.
Three years? Mm-hmm. And you like it?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Do you keep busy, I mean, with your work and stuff like that? I mean, is there steady work?
Yeah, yeah, I travel a lot. I do a lot of, like, online social media stuff. I've actually gotten really good with that, and that's helped out with people knowing who I am and all that between Tumblr and the Twitter twatters and Facebook and liking and whatever else there is. It really does help.
Right.
A lot, and you know, a lot of times you're just kind of spamming people, but you know, it does work.
Yeah,
right. Basically, it really does.
Yeah.
Do you have your own website?
Well, I had my own pay site or whatever, but I hated the webmaster, so I had to take it down. And now I just have a blog. But I have all this content for a website, but I'm just like, I'm really debating on if I want to do it with myself, like I wanted to. Beginning, or if I want to, you know, go through, you know, a different network or something like that. It's kind of a big decision because, you know, your domain is basically going to be owned by somebody else with the way that the networks work and stuff. But
oh, really?
Yeah, it's because they do a lot of link trading and stuff like that, and you have all these different affiliate sites that, you know, it takes so much time to do all this other stuff. And yeah, a lot of their work will be lost, but luckily for me, I was intelligent enough to not sign a contract that basically was sign my life away. So which they hate me for, but that's okay. So yeah, so it really depends, because like running your own website, they have a lot of different programs now and stuff like that where it can actually make it fairly easy for performers to just, you know, as long as it's edited, just upload, you know, the content, and it will cut it up for you in little clips and do all this stuff for you. But then you have to worry about credit card companies. You know, there's, it's basically
what
like
about,
your own little business. But
what about linking it to like PayPal?
PayPal really doesn't do a whole lot with porn.
Oh,
they really don't like anything to do with porn.
No, but I'm telling you, the credit card thing is so easy and simple.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I mean, it's just, you know, like worrying about chargebacks and stuff like that. Like, that's the type of stuff that a network, you know, if you were to sign up with a network, deals with all that stuff. Because I looked into it, and it is, you know, like you have to worry about legal stuff. Like, you really have to know what you're doing. And it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of upkeep, basically. You know, it's not just uploading scenes, you know, it's a lot of work and a lot of promotion and stuff, and you really do need someone, you know, to help you out with it. And I just don't know if I want to, you know, put in like 90% of my time on a website that I may, you know, only be getting a couple grand a month.
Right.
From.
Right. But eventually you can make a lot of money off the website, especially now that, no, you don't think so?
No, you don't really make a lot of girls. Because
I used
make a lot
to, you know, I had adult websites before. I didn't have my own, I wasn't creating my own content. I was buying it and stuff.
Oh, that,
but
yeah,
that was
that's
a lot of money to be made,
different.
But that was in the 90s. You
know? No, that's completely different. Like when it comes to solo girl websites, and especially if they're part of a network, they do not make a lot of money. Like, they may be getting 50% of what that website's making.
Yeah.
But then you have to take out 10% for taxes and fees and stuff. And, like, my biggest check out of the 6 months I was with them was $600. And I was putting in $3,000 to $4,000 a month just for scenes, because I would count, like, a boy-girl scene for me rate is $1,000. So I was like, okay, I did two boy-girl scenes for this. You count. I count gas. I count lunch. I count makeup. I count wardrobe. Right. That's like between two to four grand, depending on what scenes I did a month, and I'm only getting back $600. Well, that's kind of stupid to me. Like, I'm horrible at math, but I can add that up, and that doesn't look right to me.
I see what you're saying, yeah.
So why don't you give out a couple of links and stuff where people can find you?
Okay, I have.
So you do have your blog, right?
I do. That is AaliahJanine.com.
Okay.
Which is A-L-I-A. J-A-N-I-N-E.
And you said it's your real name?
Yeah,
wow.
It is. My mother got it from, well, Aaliyah is how it's actually pronounced, but only like a handful of people actually call me that. She got it from the science fiction book Dune by Frank Herbert.
Yeah.
Princess Aaliyah, Paul's crazy sister or whatever, with the creepy blue eyes. I got the creepy blue eyes. So So that's where she got it from. I guess my uncle came up with Janine. I don't know. So AaliyahJanine.com.
And then you have Twitter.
Yeah, the Twitter twatters. I'm always on there. Right. That's addicting. It's really bad. Like, I have to, like, limit myself to certain amounts per day. It'd be like, okay, go on there for a couple minutes and then get off. And it's just the same crap almost every single day, but you're just like, oh, it's so much better than TV almost.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that is at Aaliyah_Janine. And then Facebook is AaliyahJanine's fan page.
And they could just Google it.
Yeah, you just look it up and stuff. And Brigitta, she's got like 46,000 followers.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
You must be doing some good work.
I have to be doing something. Well, I have a good sense of humor, I like to think. And I tell a lot of jokes.
See, that's good.
I like really bad sarcastic humor, so I'm always about
that. I am too.
Okay, well, Aaliyah, you're so much fun.
Thank you for having
you
me.
Are.
A lot of interesting stuff, and you're always welcome to come back anytime.
Oh, well,
I'm sure there's a lot more to
talk
about.
Yeah, I only live a couple.
Awesome. So everybody check her out, and I see that we're getting ready for the next show. So thanks for joining us. Brigitta, have a nice day, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You've been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.